Hello, everyone. I am Blake Ruby, the author of The Gray Brain and The Golden Soul. I'd like to explain why I called my book that. I didn't on my last show last Saturday. And the reason is because I've heard so much talk over the years about the soul, all these different ideas of what the soul is, and it didn't make sense to me. And when I became a Rosicrucian for a few years, they gave me an idea of what the soul is. And so from me to you, this is what I think the soul is. And as with everything else, these are all just my beliefs, my opinion. As you know, I hope, when we die one day, whether tomorrow or many years in the future, our spirits that are inside our body, and we are our spirits living in the material world, just like that song by the Police, that spirit will pop out of your body, our body. And I've heard it many times from people who have had near-death experiences. Look down on that shell, the physical body, and be separate from it. Well, like the brain is to our physical body, the soul is to the spirit. In other words, in my opinion, the soul is nothing more than a brain of light. So, that's what I believe. And we are here on Earth to develop spiritually. And don't you know, there is so much bad things, so many bad things going on. The terrorist attack in London, the squabbling and the Congress with the president. I can name them by the hundreds. And it's been going on for centuries. Isn't it time for more spirituality? And the technology that we have nowadays is very good, and I'm proud of all we've been able to accomplish, some great technological feats, but we mustn't forget our spirituality. We are, I believe, living, catch this, in the universe-ity of the universe. Our planet is one of many out there. And you know, every day they're finding more and more planets. I don't know if any of you watched the new movie Passengers, where a starship took 5,000 passengers to a new world so that they can colonize this new world. A world that looked like Earth, you know, with water. Well, my contention is there's a lot more planets like ours out there. Let me give you some rationale behind that, some logic. And we are all logical, rational people, I think, for the most part. In your most logical and rational minds, consider this. Here on Earth, which is teeming with life, there are about 5,000 different types of mammals. 5,000 different types of amphibians. 9,000 types of reptiles. 10,000 types of birds, all with different colors, different beaks, different sizes. 28,000 different types of fish in the oceans and seas and rivers and lakes. and over a million types of insects, some with tiny wings and eyes that can see, with the ability to reproduce, tiny metabolisms, incredible little bodies, if you will, that we have no idea how to make. Even man, in his greatest technological brilliance, cannot even create an ant, a simple ant, or an apple seed. So, hundreds of different types of trees, thousands of types of flowers, beautiful flowers, hundreds of types of fruits and vegetables. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're dealing with here is not an accident. We're dealing with a creator who is out there, invisible to us because we couldn't handle seeing him, what he looks like, what he or she looks like. But consider this. This wonderful creator of bodies, if that creator can create all that life that I mentioned here on Earth and this planet, would that creator not also have the power and the ability to create life elsewhere in the universe, similar life, or perhaps even different in ways that we can't imagine? I say yes. And on this subject of the Creator, and whether or not this is all a huge accident, and when we die, there will be nothing, just blackness. The late, great Eugene Cernan, the last American astronaut on the moon, in 1972 was the last time we were there. In his trip to the moon in Apollo 17, as he exited Earth's atmosphere and looked back at the cobalt blue planet of our world, planet world, Earth, and saw it getting smaller and smaller, and he looked out ahead into space, the blackness, the very, very blackness of space, interspersed with brilliant diamond-like stars twinkling in that blackness. And he saw the moon over in the distance where they were going to, getting larger and larger. And over on the side, the flaming disk of the sun. He said it occurred to him at that time, at one time, that it was all too beautiful to have happened by accident. Now, some people might not believe Eugene Cernan, may God rest his soul, an astronaut, one of America's best, a red-blooded American. I do. It didn't happen by accident. There is a master plan out there, and there is a creator. Well, my friends, I'm going to move on to another subject now, and that's one thing I want to do, is just go from one subject to another. By the way, my book is in the Amazon Kindle bookstore. And everything I'm talking about is in my book, and I'm actually talking about what's in there and in more detail, and things that have come to my mind over the last week. One thing in particular is evolution, this process of evolution that we're a part of. And you know, we've come a long way over the years. Consider where we were around the time that Jesus Christ walked the earth, approximately 2,000 years ago. And technology has a lot to do with it. And where we are today, yes, we are evolving. It's a slow process. Life has more value. Indeed. And the evolutionary process is very complicated. And what I believe in is this planet that we are living in is like a school, and the purpose is to graduate. And our planet can be likened as to a kindergarten where we learn basic social values. I think I talked a little bit about that last week. And there are other planets out there, if you will, like a first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade. But how do we graduate to those? Well, first of all, you have to believe that when we die, that our spirits and souls will leave our body and go to spirit lands, the spirit realm, heaven, if you will. And then we'll be in an environment much like what we are right now, which we can't explain, really. We were born. We don't remember when we were born, and we find ourselves here among many, many other people. And so the purpose of our life, I think, is to graduate from this school of learning here on Earth. And in order to do that, we have to live good lives, if you will. We have to be kind to each other. We have to be loving, like Jesus taught us, taught the people back then, and what's in the Bible. And the Bible is very near and dear to my heart, although I consider it really a stepping stone to where I am today. And so this process of evolution, we die and then we reincarnate onto another planet of a higher category where life has more value. You won't find as many wars and killing going on like what's going on now. And television, you tune into some of these television shows and you see movies. I saw one last night. I like real life stories based on true events. Those are the best, in my opinion. I wish Hollywood would make more. Hollywood would make more of those movies. So, all this violence and evil, if you will. And here's something that I believe in that might shock you. I don't believe there is a devil. Actually, there is what you would call a devil, but his name is really Archangel Lucifer. And I believe that Archangel Lucifer works for God. Yes, I believe he is not doing anything outside the will of God. And my rationale and logic is this. If we believe in an omnipotent, understand the meaning of the word omnipotent, please. And omniscient, in other words, all-knowing, Okay, an all-powerful and an all-knowing God. Why would that God make a being that could usurp his her authority and would rebel against God and have power equal to God? Does not make any sense to me. But I understand people have to attribute the negativity that we experience here on earth to something. The people from way back when who wrote the Bible did. But honestly, people, are we not smarter than they were back there? True that they were inspired, there was divine intervention, but we've come a long way over the centuries. And so that negativity, I believe, can be attributed to this category of planet we're a part of. And as I mentioned last week, all the killing that goes on with animals eating each other. There's 1,001 different ways to die. It's a dangerous world out there. You could get struck by lightning. You could die in a hurricane or a tornado. A volcano might explode and spew lava on top of you. There could be a tsunami. And then the animals could eat us also. You go camping in the woods, you might get eaten by a bear or a mountain lion. Or you go to India or some other country like that, you can get eaten by a tiger or get bitten by one of those thousands of different types of snakes that I mentioned. A cobra or a black mamba, or consider a black widow spider or a brown recluse. There are many ways to get killed here on Earth. And so this planet is a very particular learning environment. And learning basic social values is not easy. But then again, God wants it to be hard, I believe. He told, as I mentioned in that book about the woman who tried to commit suicide, Angie Fenimore, in her book Beyond the Darkness, and she met God. She had an experience where she met God. And God said, life is supposed to be hard. Don't take your life. People, if there's any people out there that are thinking about taking your life, please don't. Not only will you encounter the anger of God, but you'll be in a place that's 10 times worse than what you are right now. There's many ways to deal with all the negativity that we experience, and we all do. Try going to a church, even though it might not be perfect. At least they're believers in God, and they can lift you up enough to get you on your feet again. Pick up the Bible. It's got a lot of wisdom in there. Or start reading about near-death experiences, people that have met God. I know that some people don't believe these experiences people have had. Well, let me ask you. Let's say in your neighborhood, you were walking down the street one nice summer evening, just enjoying the fresh air. And there was no one around, and you were in a kind of isolated part of your neighborhood or somewhere else where there wasn't too many people or houses around. And you're just walking, enjoying the time, enjoying yourself. And all of a sudden, you see a flying saucer. And it's the typical type that people describe, you know, maybe 20, 30 meters in diameter. And it's making no noise. Yet, it's propelling itself through some method. So that kind of jumps out at you. You wonder, what kind of craft that we have built can travel silently like that. But wait a second, that's a flying saucer that I've heard about before. Oh my God, and look at it move, it's moving slowly. And it's got flashing lights. And there's a realization that this craft is not from our world. And so you are very excited. Your body trembles at what you are looking at. And you realize that what people have been talking about is true. And you were one of those non-believers thinking that those people were quacks and cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And all of a sudden, here you are faced with that reality. So you run. It disappears. You wonder what you just saw. You go home. You rush into your house and you tell your family or your friends, guess what I just saw? And you know what? The look on their faces. Can you imagine that? What they might say to you? Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, what have you been drinking? Have you taken any drugs? Yeah, what did it look like? Well, you better report it to the police. Did it have any rivets on the side? Were there any green men inside that tried to talk to you? That's happened before, my friends. My point is, be serious about these people that have had an experience either seeing a UFO, flying saucer, or have had a near-death experience, because it changes their life. And that is all the proof we need, really. We can see that. So, come on now. We pride ourselves on our intelligence, don't we? Well, and we're getting smarter. We need to get smarter. We are getting smarter. Let's just not go in the direction of all its violence. Let's say more prayers. That's the key to loving each other. And at the end of this show, I'm going to say a prayer for us, for our country, for the world. And I say this humbly. The art of saying prayers is an art. I say them in church sometime. I think I mentioned to you I'm a member of our gospel service at the chapel on Lackland Air Force Base. And sometimes when we get together to practice singing, they'll ask me to say a prayer. And it's not an easy thing. And I'm learning. And I've learned so far that when you say a prayer, you should connect with God or Jesus, whoever you want to pray to that's in the spirit realm. And one important way to do that is knowing what they look like, what God looks like. Do you know what God looks like? Do you have an idea what God looks like? The creator of the universe. Let me talk a little bit about the supreme creator from my book. Let me just read a little bit here. God is the great original creator spirit, the creator responsible for the creation of everything within the physical and spiritual universes. God is the supreme intelligence behind all creation. God is the greatest spirit from whence forth everything came. God is made of light and is a light that is alive, a beautiful, glorious, brilliant energy. The actual spirit and mind of God is of an incredible size and continually growing. It is an immense, incomprehensibly wonderful and powerful force. As an example, the size of God's Spirit is 1 billion times the size of our sun. Can you imagine that? Or maybe even the size of several galaxies put together. God's Spirit is configuring. It can both change shape and reduce its size to any degree. Although God's presence is seen everywhere within his/her creations, the Spirit of God is constantly moving and appearing throughout his/her universes anywhere, at any time, and in as many places at the same time as he/she desires. The light from God's Spirit is the source of all light throughout the universe. God is the originator of love throughout the physical and spiritual universes. All love began with God and will continue eternally. God loves to create, and all creation is created for the purpose of love. All the suns, planets, and moons were all made with God's loving attention to detail. We were given stewardship of our world, and the problems we are facing are a result of past generations of wrong decisions and mistakes. God has given us free will, and we cannot blame God for the pain and suffering we are presently experiencing. Everything is made of light energy, physical and spiritual matter. In reality, nothing in the material universe is solid. Really, the definition of what is solid is misunderstood. Everything comes from God, and everything will return to God. Human beings were created in the image of God, and so were many other types of beings. We should never limit the intelligence of God or underestimate his/her capabilities. There is nothing God cannot do. God has more than proven he/she can create anything at all. The great original creator spirit is pure, incredible magic. God creates by a process of first thinking, then imagining, and finally realizing his/her intent through the power of his/her will, by utilizing what can be best understood as words, but which are, in actuality, specific thoughts delivered so as to cause a release through an orgasmic transition, the intended creation out of God's mind and into reality in either the physical or spiritual universes. That's from one of my chapters in my book, The Great Brain and the Golden Soul. And my friends, don't be alarmed at this type of thing, even if you don't believe it. And if you don't believe it, then it shouldn't worry you. Again, I ask you to consider all the negativity that's going on in the world and has throughout the centuries, the evil, if you will, but human nature is that way in order to survive, right? All the killing and the wars, right? And it's still going on. A lot of these people that are being killed, and I heard on the news just before my show, in Mosul, U.S. airstrikes killed hundreds of people, civilians, people just like you and me. Are we going to let that happen? I'm somebody that's speaking out. You know, it's not right. It's wrong to do these things A lot of the insurgents, and I don't say that what they're doing is right, but they get paid money for doing these acts. Is it too hard to understand their situations? I mean, I don't know if I would if I was dying of hunger and my family was too, if I would take money to go and kill somebody. What about you? That's not a pleasant thought to think, but that's the reality in some places around the world, you know, and we call them terrorists or insurgents, but really, and that might not be the case with all of these people, but yeah, because some do have the ideology. Usually the ones that have all the money are the ones who are very ideologic, you know, who believe maybe just being against the United States, taking the opposite stance, you know, as I mentioned last week. You watch a sports game, you're just going to naturally gravitate towards one side or the other. And there you go, getting caught up in the competition. Life is a big competition, and we know that. And there are a lot of benefits from competition, but that is not the ultimate right answer, in my opinion. Because you're going to have losers, and the losers are not going to be happy. Life is supposed to be happy. We have to find ways to be happy. Happiness is a frame of mind. It's an attitude. Singing makes me happy. I sang today in my patio. I went to the Wounded Warriors. I told you last week I go to the Wounded Warriors last month. I mean, I go every month. I went last Monday. And I take my laptop there and I pull up YouTube and have karaoke videos for anyone who wants to participate. I had a woman, she's participated before, she sang a couple of songs. I sang five songs. The first song I sang was America's A Horse With No Name, which is one of my favorites. Pretty cool song. At the end there it says, talks about the earth and humans will give no love. Kind of strange lyrics, but I like it. And I like the, even though it's not very melodic, it's a cool song. And then I sang Moon River by Andy Williams. Moon River, wider than a mile. I'm crossing you in style someday. And then I sang Sunny by Bobby Hebb. That was from back in the 60s. Cool song. And I really like the lyrics of the third verse. It goes like this. Sonny, thank you for the truth you let me see. Sonny, thank you for the facts from A to Z. My life was torn like windblown sand. Then a rock was formed when we held hands. Oh, Sonny, once so true, I love you. A rock was formed and we held hands. Now there, my friends, is a principle of creation. I might have mentioned to you about soulmates. We have soulmates in my show last week. As you know, we reproduce here on Earth, a man and a woman, to create a baby. Two men cannot create a baby that way, and two females cannot either. Two women. And when we get to the spirit realms, we'll also have that ability to create. And it's called the merging of the spirits. And I learned this from Sylvia Brown. You remember her? The late, great Sylvia Brown. Psychic medium. And I know there's a lot of psychic mediums who have their shows on BBS Radio. And one of my favorite books of all time was James Van Praagh's. Oh, I can't even remember the title, but I read a lot of books by psychic mediums, and I'm very interested in that. That's what really, one of the things that got me started. And James Van Praagh's book actually helped me to become a vegetarian. And now I'm a vegan, believe it or not, since 1999. On the 29th of March, in just a few days, 1999, I became a vegetarian. And one of the reasons is because I read James Van Praagh's book, and he was saying that if you eat a lot of red meat, it'll lower your vibration, your vibratory level of your spirit. And so that's not good for you because you're trying to develop spiritually. And if your vibratory essence is out of whack, so to speak, then that's not what you need in order to develop spiritually, if you know what I mean. That's not behooving to the process of developing yourself. So then later on in September of 1999, I became a vegan. And for the most part, I am a vegan. Every once in a while, like last night, I had a pizza from Papa John's. And it's good pizza. So there's a little commercial there for Papa John's. But I asked them to make it with very little cheese. And thinking back, I can't remember seeing hardly any cheese on it as I was eating it. And we were watching a movie last night. And anyway, so I've been a vegan for going on 18 years. And we have free will. And my wife, she eats everything. And my son, he eats everything, although he's tried to be a vegetarian a time or two, I think, and he might continue to try. And I can't say that I'll ever go back because I think I've learned some things by being a vegan in regard to my spirituality. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't always treat myself well. There was a time when I used to drink. And my parents both drank. And you know what? For the things that I did when I was young, I don't feel responsible for them. I wasn't really responsible for my actions when I was younger. And nowadays, I think it's pretty generally commonly accepted that we become responsible for our actions when we maybe turn 17, 18, 21. But I propose to you that we are not really responsible for our actions until our parents pass away, because we are always under their influence when they're alive. And that's not a bad thing. You know, I love my parents very much. In the last few years of their lives, I had a chance to bond with them. I visited them often. And they were my best friends, and everybody's parents are your best friends. Please don't disrespect your parents. If you have had a falling out with them. Forgive each other, please. I ask you before it's too late. It's no good leaving this earth, and you know you will, we all will, with some unforgiveness on your heart, in your heart, in your soul. Especially for relatives, you know. Life is too short for that. And you hear about it all the time, people who go into hospices, like my mother did just before she died. And people that go into hospices, generally speaking, know that they're going to die, like my mother did. She had a lung tumor, not surprisingly, because she smoked for all of her life. And my dad did too. And as I mentioned, dad gave up drinking about the last 5 years, but mom, she continued to have her glass of sherry or two or three every evening. And you know, something that's really surprising that you might not know about, and I read about this in two books by a man named John Lerma, who lives here in Texas and runs a couple of hospices, I think, if my memory serves me correct. He said the very process of dying for the terminally ill or those who are dying of old age has some milestones along the way that we all can expect if we are dying of a terminal illness or of old age. Isn't that something? In other words, when we get to like 6 weeks out, we can expect this to happen. 4 weeks out, that to happen. 2 weeks visited by relatives, deceased relatives, excuse me, angels, and especially during the last week, They appear all over, all the time. The people at the hospice, if you ask any of them that work there, they'll tell you that these people that are dying are like talking to the walls and looking in the corners and talking to angels and seeing angels and saying that they're going to be with them shortly. And we can expect that to happen for us too. Isn't that something? These are common milestones. Oh, there's my big black lab. He's just come out. You're not going to go out there barking, are you, in the back? We've got a black lab. He's a big, beautiful black lab. And he's about 7, 8 years old. His name is Shaka. And he weighs about 130 pounds. He's a big dog. He's really, really big, very beautiful temperament. He loves to be patted. And I rub his back down for him. He's got a deep bark. Row, row, row. Might go out there in just a few seconds and bark out into the area behind our house. There's a 24-acre park behind our house, and there's coyotes back there, and sometimes they'll sound off, and that's one reason he'll start barking. Anyway, back to where I was. So, just changing the subject. Oh, let me say something about abortion. Now, I know this is a very contentious subject, abortion. And I don't really want to say one against one side or the other and say, well, there goes our other dog. Now she loves to bark. I will say this about abortion. And think about this. This is some food for thought. Now realize that women, it's their bodies and they have the right to choose. But from what I've read, people who have talked with God, God is disappointed that babies are aborted, but understands the way the women think and that they made their decision and lets it go at that. But besides all the other stuff, think about this. Remember the movie and the book, Heaven Is for Real? And some of you might have thought about this already. The little boy, he goes to heaven, right? Not only does he see his grandfather, but he sees a sister. He had another sister he didn't know about, the one who was miscarried. So if a baby dies from a miscarriage and goes to heaven and is there in heaven because he or she missed her chance to come to earth and grow up as a human here in the material world, then the same would apply logically, would it not, to a baby that was aborted. And I've read also before that there are places in heaven where aborted babies go to and miscarried babies. And they're for the young souls, I had to work this out. And we're not all the same as far as souls are concerned. We have our soul journeys, and some of us are advanced souls, and some are just beginning souls. And that's not a bad thing. We're still all souls, but nevertheless, I may have, I don't know how many incarnations I've had in my past, but there are such a thing as young beginner souls. And when these spirits and souls are created in heaven and come to earth and come into the bodies of the mothers, in the wombs of the mothers, and that can happen from any time, I understand, but commonly at age 5 months, they come into the womb, that is the spirit and soul do, into the baby, the developing fetus. 5 months is the average, although it's been known that they can come into the baby just before being born. But generally speaking, anywhere from 5 to 9 months is the common time where a spirit and soul, just like you, when you were born, when you were created, you were in your mother's womb too, right? But 9 months, we were not even breathing air. Wasn't that amazing to think? And our heart started beating at, what is it, 22 days? Anyway, again, on the subject of abortion, it's such a contentious issue. But we're getting smarter about it. In the meantime, you know, women, I think, will make the right decisions for themselves, and then they'll live with their decision one way or the other. So moving on, I'd like to talk about our president, Mr. Trump. I think he's a good man. But to tell you the truth, even though I voted for him in the primary, I didn't vote for him in the final election. And I think because of that video that came out and some other things too, that I didn't vote for him. And also I live with my wife, and my wife is African-American, and I have my stepdaughter here, and she's African-American, of course, and 3 grandchildren. And generally speaking, the African-Americans kind of gravitate more towards the Democrats, if you know what I mean. So it wouldn't have been good for me voting for Mr. Trump, even though I like him. I love him. I think he's a good man and has a great sense of humor, too, which kind of has disappeared. And I really wanted to see a woman president. We had a black president, and I thought a woman president would be good for... Hey. Shakira, come here. She's got a loud bark. Hey. So, I'm sorry. You probably heard her barking in the background. And I think for my next show, I'm going to have to keep this door locked so they don't go out in the back. Anyway, so I think we're the United States. We're all Americans. We need to come together, you know, 50-50 Democrat, Republican. And it's becoming very contentious. You know, why can't we learn how to love each other? We should be adoring each other, you know. Think how you feel when someone dies, you know. Especially someone close, you feel, you know, a celebrity, they pass away, you feel that connection, you know, like something's been severed, that something has disappeared. And so, you know, we're all in this together. And as Ronald Reagan said one time in his address to the United Nations, if we were ever under attack, or if there was some kind of contact with an extraterrestrial race, think about how all of our petty differences and conflicts would disappear. That's so true. So, say your prayers. Say a prayer for Mr. Trump. Please, why not? You know, don't leave this world regretting to not have done something. Because we all will have that judgment day, that life review, where we'll be held accountable for our actions, all the good we do and all the bad we do. We're going to see things from 3 perspectives, from someone else's perspective. You've heard it before, people's lives flash before their eyes. Well, there's different ways it can happen. I talk about it in my book, but suffice it to say that you're going to experience it from someone else's perspective, from the way you felt back then, and the way that you feel now. And if you made some mistakes, if you weren't as loving as you could have been, if you weren't as kind and forgiving as you could have been, you're going to regret it. And the regret and remorse that people have when they leave this world and go into the spirit lands, return to the spirit lands. There's a wailing and a gnashing, lashing. Gnashing. Never mind. A wailing. There's a general frame of mind of, oh, if I'd only known, or if I'd only done something differently, I could have graduated from this world with honors and then continued in my soul's journey of evolution from this planet to another planet, in accordance with God's will, the Creator's will, fulfilling God's plan for my life, being what I'm meant to be, learning to love. That's the key, my friends. And so let me say a prayer. And let me encourage you, when you say prayer sometimes, pick your most esoteric, beautiful music that you enjoy, put it on lightly in the background, and really try to make contact with your Creator, because God does listen to prayers, I believe. So a prayer would be something like this. Beautiful, wonderful Creator of the universe, Master, God, be with us now. May the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, be with us and blow over us like a warm summer breeze. Show your love to us, please, God, I ask humbly, that you would bless everyone listening to my voice. Bless us all, please, God, everyone. Help us in our daily lives. Be with us in our times of need, when we travel the dangerous roads. Be with us. Protect us, please, God. When I look up into the evening sky and I see all the stars out there, different suns from our own solar systems, I think how great you are, God. When a new baby is born every day, and there are thousands being born every minute, I think how great you are, God. When I think about the people who die every day, and some veterans too, and some who commit suicide, I think how great you are, God. When I think about the beauty of this world and all the different types of flowers and trees, and the beautiful blue skies and the clouds. And when I think about the time you turn the clouds into gray so that you can water your earth and keep the trees and the plants and the flowers growing, I think how great you are, God. And when I think about our world traveling through space, thousands of miles an hour, in a different part of the universe all the time, revolving around our sun, rotating on its axis, all this held in existence by the might of your power, God. The whole universe held in existence by the might of your power. Gravity, yes, but still your power, your will, God, helps all of this stay together. And you know all of us intimately, God. Every hair on our head is numbered. You love us, God, and we love you. Thank you for our lives. Thank you for everything, God. Please, please help us in our soul journeys. Help us to develop spiritually. Help awaken the hearts of those souls who do violence, who do terrible things to each other. And we are all brothers and sisters in spirit, Creator. You know that this world is one step in our soul's journey. Help us to evolve and be who you want us to be, to fulfill your mission that you gave us, God, when we existed prior to coming to this world. Before we were born into our mother's womb, you know that you created our souls and our spirits, God. Thank you. Thank you. 1,000 thank yous, God, for the miracles of all creation. And indeed, There is so much beauty everywhere, God. Wonderful beauty. May your angels be with us, God, and I know that each of us has at least one angel. Thank you, God. Thank you. We love you. We praise you. We worship you, God. And we will, when we get to heaven, I understand that worship will be the main thing, because we will realize at that time just how incredible this world is. A separate cosmic being with an atmosphere, self-contained, with life that thrives, and oceans and seas and land, beautiful land that is fertile, that helps to grow all this plant life, God. A beautiful world. And there's many more out there teeming with life. I know. I don't just believe, I know, God. What a wonderful creation. And we will praise you when we get to heaven because of all these miracles of creation. But if we praise you now, God, that is what we need to do, to worship you, praise you, thank you for our lives, because they could end at any second or at any minute. And my show is about to end too. So, my friends, it could end any second now. I'm not saying our lives will. You know what I mean. So until next week, I hope you all have a safe and enjoyable week, safe and enjoyable rest of the weekend. Be kind to each other. Pray for each other, please. So that is the key. When you pray for someone, that's the key to loving each other. I pray for Mr. Trump. May God bless it. God, please bless Mr. Trump. Help him. Help all the members of Congress to work together to say good things. May the words from their mouths be creative and positive. Please, God, help them in their lives, because they have a very difficult life. Thank you for that, God. Thank you for Mr. Trump. Please bless us, God, everyone. My friends, I am Blake Ruby, living here in San Antonio. The sun's gone down. It's a beautiful Saturday evening. My book is The Gray Brain and the Golden Soul. You can find it in the Amazon Kindle bookstore for $2.99. I wish I could make it less than that, 99 cents, or even give it to you for free. But I'll be talking about it on my radio station, my radio show, all this for free, everything that's in my book. So you don't have to buy it if you don't want to. And when I'm dead and gone, it'll be there for you. So I have 9 o'clock Central Standard Time. And I guess Doug, who is a very good man, him and his brother Donald, I'm very grateful for their help. May God bless them. God, please bless Doug and Donald. They're good men. And I'm going to be listening to some other shows. I've listened to some already. I want to listen to some live shows in the future, in the near future. Hope you all like my music. It's called Above the Clouds. I'm a very big fan of trance music and rock and roll, too. Classical music. I like all types of music. And trance music especially, it has a very esoteric quality to it, if you will. And the drum beat in the background, very beautiful and spiritual. So I guess you've heard the dogs back barking. You hear that, Shakira. She's a smooth fox terrier. She's a female. She's about 4 years old. Yep, that's her. And then Shaka, he's sitting next to me, and I'm patting him. And we've got two other dogs. I don't know if I mentioned to you. We've got a dachshund, and we've got an American Pit Bull Terrier, too. Goldie is her name. And the dachshund, his name is Mr. Beta. He's a cool dog.